Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHER are out to change that. InvestHERCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHERCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHERCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHER, H-E-R, con.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Don't feel like you have to be pressured into putting your money somewhere. Make sure you do your due diligence, you take your time, you're in an asset class that you feel comfortable being in for the next 5 to 10 years.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best Ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and today we are joined by Chris Larson. Chris is joining us from Asheville, North Carolina. He's the founder of Next Level Income. He's a real estate investor, also an author, a retired sales executive, and a passive income mastermind coach. He has a podcast. He's the host of the Next Level Income show. His current real estate portfolio consists of approximately 3,500 apartments, 12 self-storage facilities, 20 mobile home parks, 32 car washes, a hotel, a residential development, an office building, and 2 Airbnbs. Chris, tell us a little bit more about your background and what your current focus is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we might have left out mobile home parks there too, Slocum. We have about 20
of them
at this point.
Is what I said. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, man. I was listening. I was like, do we get all that? You mentioned a retired sales executive. We were chatting a little bit before the show. I bought my first property at 21, but a lot of people ask me, when did you transition from medical device sales into real estate? Because as a young 20-something year old, I ran out of money really quickly after I bought my second or third property. And I wanted to find a way to earn a steady, high income that I could use to invest in real estate. So I entered the field of medical device sales. I spent nearly 2 decades working in surgery, working with orthopedics, specifically spine surgeons for the most part, throughout the Southeast, but DC area, Asheville, the Carolinas, and exited that a few years ago as our syndication business grew. We started bringing on more investors here. And we did our first syndication in 2016. So that was about 8 years ago at this point.
Nice. So out of the portfolio that I listed in your bio, how much of that was purchased through the syndication style ownership group?
Most of what you mentioned are syndications. Our Airbnbs we own personally, office building we own personally. We have a small group of investors that is developing the residential community that we have. Actually, I own one of the car washes with a single partner as well. But through the syndications, we do multifamily, we do self-storage, we do express tunnel car washes, as well as our mobile home parks.
Nice. So you've got a handful of different asset classes here. What has led to these asset classes? You've got multifamily and self-storage, mobile home parks, and then 32 car washes. Is it just opportunism? Whatever looks the best in the market of the moment is what you're buying? Or is there something that led you specifically to those 4 asset classes?
Excellent question. If you read my book, you'd say, well, Chris, you talk about multifamily real estate being the holy grail. And I know you just got back from the Best Ever conference. I know a lot of people in the Best Ever community are big multifamily fans. As we moved from single family to multifamily, we were first multifamily passive investors, Slocum. And then our first syndications were in the multifamily space all the way up until about 2019. But really, if you look at my book, what I talk about is the value add strategy. And the value add strategy, we are familiar with it in the real estate space, but whether you read Benjamin Graham or Warren Buffett, Benjamin Graham was one of his mentors. They also talk about basically value investing, purchasing a business. Warren Buffett, people think of him as a stock market investor, but really he buys businesses. He analyzes businesses, and commercial real estate is like a business. So I'm a big fan of that strategy, whether it's multifamily or self-storage or the car washes or the mobile home parks that we do. These are all a different subset of the value add strategy. And the reason that I got into medical device sales was because of demographics. So I looked and said, okay, what would be a good industry for the next couple decades that would be stable, that would have steady income, that would have good demographic tailwinds? And I talk about this in my book as well, which I should share with your audience so they can get a free copy at nextlevelincome.com if they'd like. But the demographics that supported the medical device industry were the baby boomers that were the richest and are the richest generation in history, most active generation in history. They want to stay active. So what were they doing if they had an issue? They had knee pain, joint issues. They'd have a knee replacement. They'd have a hip replacement. They'd have spine surgery so they could continue to be active into their later years. A similar demographic tailwind propelled the multifamily space here over the last decade as the millennials, as what a lot of people have called the renter generation, have come into the market as well. And those same demographics, whether it's baby boomers or millennials, have led to these demographic tailwinds in pretty much all of the asset classes that I mentioned earlier.
So what are the demographic tailwinds for mobile home parks, Chris?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Really, I look at mobile home parks kind of as a subset of multifamily. So it's a similar demographic. However, obviously, the renter, the resident in a Class A luxury apartment that's going to be renting for $3,000 is going to look probably substantially different than somebody who's renting a lot for $300 a month. But the bottom line is, if you look at where we are today, we have a lot of people looking for homes. And we have a housing shortage in this country. We have a housing shortage here in Asheville, North Carolina. We have a housing shortage in Houston, where we're working on a tax abatement deal right now. We have a housing shortage pretty much everywhere in the country that people want to live. And that is across almost all asset classes, but it's really pronounced in the affordable sector. So if you go down the multifamily chain from Class A to B to C, and even into the subsidized areas, you typically have lower performance in those properties that maybe you would call them a lesser quality resident or a resident that is getting some subsidization of their rent. Whereas what happens in the mobile home park space is that you have a pride of ownership, because most people that live in mobile home parks own the mobile home that they're in. And there's value in that when it comes to the pride that someone takes into that. So the fact that there's nothing more affordable than mobile home parks in most areas, and the fact that you have a resident that is willing to care for the home that they most likely own, are all positive, in addition to those general demographic trends that support multifamily as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Transitioning the conversation here a bit, Chris, it's a relatively large and asset diverse portfolio that you have syndicated. Within the syndication ownership structure, or within the general partnership ownership structure, do you and Next Level Income have a particular specialty?
Well, our specialty is finding operating partners that are best in class in the asset classes that we work with. So initially, when we did our first syndication, it was myself and one other partner, and did a little bit of everything. So if you're listening, you started a business on your own, or you're in the real estate space and you've grown it, you don't typically start with 10 or 20 or 50 person team that's doing everything. You do a little bit yourself. You do a little bit on acquisitions, on underwriting. You sign on the loans. You go out and find investors. You're doing pretty much everything that you can do. Here at Next Level Income, we've transitioned more in the past few years into being more of a private equity group, where we give our investors access to all these different investments. So they get diversity, not only in terms of assets, but they also get diversity in terms of geography, of operators, and also the ability to have a one-stop shop when it comes to all this stuff.
So is Next Level Income focused on capital raising and investor relations and partnering with the general partners who identify, underwrite, close, and operate on these assets?
That definitely is a large part of our business, but we participate heavily on the front end, on the operating side of things. We also operate as a key person on a lot of the loans as well.
Gotcha. We're recording in April of 2024. How recently have y'all closed a deal or your last few deals?
Well, we have a current deal under contract that we'll be closing here in the next couple of weeks. So by the time this airs, likely in early May here, that will be closing. That is a multifamily deal in the Houston, Texas market. We closed on our most recent car wash early this year. So we closed on that earlier this year in early 2024. And we also have an active debt fund we haven't talked about yet, but we're actively making hard money loans in partnership with our origination partner on that as well.
When did you start the debt fund?
A little bit over 2 years ago.
I want to ask you about the debt fund, but I feel like your answer is going to be part of the next question I wanted to ask anyways, Chris. There are two questions here that I want to ask in tandem, and I'll re-ask because this feels like a bigger conversation than just one or two questions. Given that you started syndicating in 2016, you have a breadth of markets you invest in, it sounds like, because of the operators that you've identified to work with. You have a breadth of asset classes within the portfolio that you have invested in, and you've had a heavy emphasis on capital raising and investor relations for the last 8 years. Speaking to the last couple of years especially, but also the market of the moment, the second quarter of 2024, how have you seen the good acquisition opportunities shift over the last couple of years, and where are they now?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is one of the reasons that we have various asset classes that we operate in. So at different parts of the real estate cycle, and I talk a lot about this in various interviews, and we talk a lot about this. It was the focus of my 100th episode. We just published episode 200 actually yesterday. But if you go and listen to the Next Level Income show, episode 100, I talk about the 18.6-year real estate cycle. And at different points in the cycle, different asset classes are going to perform or outperform. So early in the cycle, when land is cheap, development costs are cheap, it's better to develop. As you move into the middle of the cycle, typically multifamily, value add, you know, kind of the core income producing commercial real estate does well. In the latter half of the cycle, which we're in right now, as prices are high, as interest rates are high, you start to see some of the margins compress. And that makes it challenging to make pricing work, to make deals pencil out. And during this part of the cycle, I'm a big fan of what I would call like operational real estate. Things like assisted living. We talked about car washes, mobile home parks, short-term rentals. Assets that have not only a real estate component, but also an operational component. This is going to give you essentially two income streams coming in, both from the rents on the property, as well from the operating profits. They're going to help to make deals feasible in this environment where prices are high and interest rates are high. So currently, the most deal flow that we're seeing with respect to deals that are making good sense right now are going to be mobile home parks. Again, we talked about that earlier. And the deals that we focus on, Slocum, they tend to be more challenging deals in some ways. They are typically undermanaged, so they have lower occupancy rates. So we're able to come in, we're able to increase occupancies by actually placing homes in the park and then owner financing those homes. Car washes have been a very positive point in our portfolio the past couple of years. Again, because this is kind of an affordable luxury. People are coming in, they're washing their cars right here. We just drove by two of our washes in town today, and they were both packed. It's pollen season, so it's a great time of the year. Not only a great time in the cycle, but a great time of the year to be in the car wash business as well. And then I really go ahead.
I know the value-add mobile home play has been the same for quite some time, and pollen has been falling in the Southeast every year since the beginning of time. What is it about?
Maybe not during the Ice Age, but sure.
Sure. Maybe not the beginning of time, but
human history. Yeah,
sure. I was going to say ever since white people showed up, but we'll call it human history. That's better.
We'll get back to the show, but first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about.
If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is, there is one. It's called Baselane, and it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/Joe.
What is it that attracts you to opportunities in 2024? Is it the combination of operating a business along with collecting rents that can lead to increased NOI, as opposed to deals like multifamily or mobile home parks?
Again, I think mobile home parks are a real bright spot right now. I think currently what we're looking for in the deals that are making sense are those that they're a little more challenging, frankly. They have a little more hair on them, as some people would say. When it comes to doing a multifamily deal that may have a component of affordability that we do in conjunction with a local municipality or town or city that we're working with for a tax break, for instance, to increase our cap rates with respect to that. Mobile home parks, instead of buying mobile home parks that are stabilized, buying mobile home parks that may need to increase occupancy, say from 50 to 75% to really get them working. Same thing on the car wash space, finding opportunities in the car wash space that maybe other people haven't exploited, like going into a secondary or tertiary market that a larger player hasn't been in. So again, the common theme in all these is that you have to go and work a little bit harder and figure out what other people aren't necessarily doing. And what we're seeing compared to, say, 3 years ago, instead of underwriting 100 deals and finding a good deal, we're underwriting 400 deals to find a good deal. So it takes a lot more work on the front end to find those deals that make sense. And again, typically those deals are going to have some component that is a little bit more challenging than just your run-of-the-mill deal that we could have been doing 3 years ago and being successful with.
It sounds like you're saying that you're effectively doing the same deals now that you have been for the last several years. They're just fewer and farther between, and you're taking on projects that are more operationally complex and moving into smaller markets in order to find deals with the same returns you were finding previously. Is that a fair summary?
Not necessarily. We're doing a deal currently in Houston. That's not a smaller market than we were doing previously, but it has another component of complexity, which is that partnership that we're doing with respect to affordability aspect. The car wash, yes, we could buy 2 years ago car washes that were already built, that were easier to operate, take over, and get up and running quicker. Whereas today, we may be building a car wash in a tertiary market. So that's a difference. The mobile home parks, it's effectively the same strategy that we have been doing for the past 4 years in that market, certainly. But we're just having to do more work to find those deals. Whereas before, there were just more deals around that made sense from a financial perspective.
My other question, Chris, about the shifts in the market was about investor sentiment. What have you seen with regards to the LP investors who are looking to get their money placed into these kinds of deals? What can you tell us about investor sentiment in present day Q2 2024 and how it's different than it has been just last year?
Yeah, I think we've seen a big shift here over the past year, 2 years. First off, a lot of investors that have been in this space for the past 5 or 10 years have been spoiled in a sense. If you're getting 30% returns from these multifamily deals that you've been investing in, you come to expect returns like that. At the time, with inflation running a couple percent, getting a 30% return, that's a fantastic spread. We've seen returns come down in the space, normalize, in my opinion, a little bit more. And really, this is across asset classes. but interest rates, inflation have gone up. So if you have an investor that says, hey, Chris, I can get, call it a quote unquote risk-free return at 5% investing in a treasury bill or something like that, it's going to be less appealing to invest in an asset that is getting 5 or 6% cash flow and maybe a mid-teens return with respect to that. So there's definitely some headwinds with respect to investors. We're certainly seeing, if you look across the multifamily landscape, in certain markets, prices have come down. Investors have concerns about that. They want to know what's going to happen with interest rates. Are interest rates going to come down? Are prices going to go back up? Are rents going to start rising again? We have a lot of investors that are waiting on the sidelines for some of those things to occur. So I think the two biggest challenges we have are the risk-free rate is higher today. We have more uncertainty in the market than we've seen in the past couple of years. And both those things are making, one, it more challenging for investors to come off the sideline, and two, investors willing to put their money in an asset that might take 5 years to come back to them with those uncertainties.
Tell us more about the risk-free rate.
Most people would look at what a government bond is paying and call that the risk-free rate. And today, I have to look up exactly what it is today. But if you can invest in a six-month T-bill and get a 5% return, or a CD, for instance, and get a 5% return.
Then the returns that real estate investors are offering to LPs are being compared, not necessarily to nothing, but being compared to that rate. Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's typically, if we look, you see cap rates and you see risk-free rates and interest rates trade within a spread typically over time.
Chris, it's just about time to transition to the last segment of our show, but I want to ask first, what is your best ever advice for investors looking for great deals right now, second quarter of 2024?
I think the best thing that you can do if you're an investor out there is to partner with an operator, with a syndicator who has been in business, that has a track record, that can explain to you what their strategy is in today's market. And it may be different than other markets. I would also say, if you're not comfortable investing right now, that's okay. It's okay to have liquidity on the sidelines, but I would do something with that money. That's one of the reasons we have a debt fund. We give investors the opportunity to earn up to 10% in that debt fund, but still have an option of liquidity so that they can pull that money out of there. But don't feel like you have to be pressured into putting your money somewhere. Make sure you do your due diligence, you take your time, you're in an asset class that you feel comfortable being in for the next 5 to 10 years, because I do feel that real estate, commercial real estate, multifamily real estate, all the asset classes that we talked about is going to outperform. You look at where the stock market is today, it's at historical record highs. So I would argue that historically, we're probably going to see low single digit returns over the next 10 years from the stock market as well. And you have to compare that to what your other options are.
That makes a lot of sense. Chris, you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Let's do it.
What is the best ever book you recently read?
I'll tell you what, I mentioned the 18.6 year real estate cycle. I would suggest reading The Secret Life of Real Estate and Banking by Phil Anderson. I read that about 10 years ago, so it's not the most recent book I read, but I do reread it from time to time.
What is your best ever way to give back?
We started a financial literacy program for a nonprofit here in Asheville, North Carolina. And one of the mastermind groups I'm a part of, we're actually doing a workshop here at our next meeting to teach kids about financial independence. So we have our 5 ways to teach your kids how to be money pros. It's up on our website. I also wrote a chapter in a book called No Problem Parenting. But you can find these tips at our website at nextlevelincome.com/kids. nextlevelincome.com/kids.
Chris, let's talk specifically about the deals that y'all have done in the last couple of years as you've taken on more operational complexity and moved into new markets. Specific to those deals, the deals you have done, what is the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson you learned from it?
I would say the biggest mistake, if we look at, say, the car wash business that we're in, we stood up an operating group in the car wash business because, unlike multifamily, you can't go and grab a manager, quote unquote, off the shelf and plug them into the car wash space because of the complexities, the differences between different markets and these sorts of things. So most of the car washes out there are big operators or franchises that have those. And it was definitely a learning curve when it came to that. So when we first started out, we were buying multiple different types of car washes, Slocum. And what we found is we had to specify specifically in the express tunnel wash. And certainly those washes that didn't fit that model have not necessarily been the best performers. So we've really isolated the type of wash that we buy or build today. And we've also changed the market strategy from focusing on major markets to these secondary and tertiary markets where we can be the dominant owner or dominant operator in that space.
Gotcha. And Chris, what is your best ever advice?
My best ever advice is, if you're a real estate investor or really anybody in general, I was just talking to a coaching client yesterday and he said, you know what, Chris, I never really had a mentor. And that's why I value this relationship. And that's my advice. Find a mentor. Find somebody who's done what you've done, somebody who's walked the walk, and either offer to help them out so you can learn from them, or offer to hire them and figure it out. Because the only thing more expensive than finding a mentor or finding a coach to help get you where you want is going and making the same mistakes yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. Last question, where can people get in touch with you?
I mentioned a couple times, but you can go to nextlevelincome.com. You can find our podcast there. You can find that great resource for your kids, nextlevelincome.com/kids. And you get a free copy of our book. Next Level Income will even send you a copy if you put your address in for our team. And of course, if you want to learn about any of the investments that we've mentioned or talked about here today, click on the invest link and feel free to schedule a call with our team to learn more.
Those links are in the show notes. Chris, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you gained value from our conversation today, please subscribe to our show, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our interview today. Thank you, and have a best ever day.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go. Would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.